tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go.
Hey there, it's Kristen, your technical tabby at the podcast, back again with part two of our special drop trap tutorial, Drop Traps, a Trapper's Best Friend, that was presented by our friends at Neighborhood Cats back in June. If you haven't listened to part one, you may want to go do that first before you start this one. Last week, we tackled the basics, and today we're going to level up. Brian Cordes returns to share creative, field-tested strategies to help you handle the toughest trapping scenarios. Think uneven terrain, higher volume projects, post-disaster environments, and those extra savvy cats who really think they've seen it all. You'll pick up clever hacks like using pads to stabilize traps, incorporating sound cues, and even tapping into some natural behaviors, like using kittens or queens as lures when you really need to seal the deal. Brian also walks us through how drop traps became a life-saving tool during their rescue efforts in Maui's wildfire burn zone, including the development of an ingenious auto drop trap that works without a person being there to pull the cord. I promise you, it is very cool. If you're ready to expand your trapping toolkit and boost your success in the field, this session will give you all the confidence you need and the know-how to go ahead and take that drop trapping to the next level. And if you'd like to watch the full webinar with all the visuals, you can find it anytime at communitycatspodcast.com/TNRtraining. And next week, we'll be back with a regular episode. All right, let's get into part two of Drop Trap, a Trapper's Best Friend.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. So first, we're going to just start off with a few just random tips that might be helpful for you. So this is sometimes people struggle with, is the cat in far enough? Is their tail in? So what you can do is if you're on a like concrete or something, you can just take a piece of chalk and draw the outline on the ground. So you can see exactly where the cat is in relation to the drop trap. If you're on grass or a soft surface, you can use flour and just create that outline. Another tip, if you're using a rope and you're a long way away and it starts getting windy, then you're going to notice the string blowing around and potentially just making it harder to do the pull. So what you can do is just take a light piece of wood, like this is maybe a 1x1, and just rest it on the string about midway through. And that will stop the rope from blowing all the way to the side and creating this long arc that, you know, kind of messes with the tension of the string. Nothing too heavy though. It needs to be light so that it's not going to interfere when you're pulling. Very important tip. Whenever you can, you can't always, but whenever you can use a bowl that the cat is already familiar with, you want to go with that. Because again, we're trying to convince the kitties that everything is normal. And if they see their usual bowl, they're very sensitive to that. And that will help encourage them to go under. What you see in this slide, to throw a couple of curveballs together, you see a familiar dish, which is this sort of flower shape with multiple bowls coming out the middle. And, you know, normally you would say this is way too big for a drop trap. And the way we got around that problem was we put the drop trap, you can see, so that one side of it was very close to a wall, like maybe an inch or two away. So that eliminated that whole side as an escape route. And then we put this odd-shaped bowl into that back corner so that kitty would have to go into the far corner, and that would give us the time to pull because she couldn't get out to that side. She'd have to go a little bit further, and that made it possible for us to use this. Now, I think we wanted her to go to where the food was, which was in the middle or one of the back petals, but unfortunately, she started licking one of the front ones. But because of the positioning of the trap against the wall, you'll see we had just enough time to catch her. So use a familiar bowl and then you can be creative. Now, unless you have some experience with drop trapping, don't try the thing with the wall because you have to be pretty precise about it. But once you've got, you know, once you've got a few cats under your wing, then you can start to play around with these types of situations. Now, what about a mom and kittens? So that's always a big problem, right? For when you're trying to trap mother and kittens, you know, especially young kittens. So you can use them as bait. In this slide, what you see are, I'm not sure if it's the mom or the kittens, it's a little hard to make out, but one of the two is in this transfer cage. And the transfer cage, you can see how it's positioned under the drop trap with all sides covered except for the side where you want the kittens or the mom to be positioned, right, which is in the back center. So in order for the kitten to get to her mom, she's got to go be in that spot where you can then drop the trap. So you can do this if you've got the mom and you're trying to draw the kittens into the trap. You can do it if you've got the kittens and you're trying to draw the mom into the trap. We once actually had, it was in a funny setting. It was in a hotel storage room. It's one of these giant rooms in like a Hyatt or something like that, where they had, you know, 200 mattresses and 300 desks. And it was just this huge space. And there was a little kitten that we got that the staff handed over to us when we showed up. And she was too weak to use as bait. You know, she needed to eat right away, and it would have been too stressful for her. So we set the drop trap up in the storage room, but instead of using the kitten as bait, we put a YouTube video on our cell phone of a kitten crying for her mother and put that under the drop trap. And the mom came shooting over, and we were able to catch her that way. So you can use the actual live cat or kittens, or you can try using a video, audio. Okay. Another common situation that trappers are going to come upon, if you haven't already, is what we call the stubborn caretaker. And that's the feeder or the caretaker who is absolutely sure that they can pick up the cat and put the cat into your box trap, right? If you're using the normal rectangular traps. Those of you who have experienced this knows it almost never works. And what you usually end up with is a feeder with bloody arms and you basically shaking your head and saying, I told you not to do that. So we've learned that. So it's never a good idea to handle the cat. So I'm only talking about this when you're desperate, right? The caretaker just won't listen to you no matter how much you say, don't do that. They're going to pick the cat up. So if that's what you're facing, we've learned that a drop trap is a great thing. And let me show you just a very quick video of a stubborn caretaker in action and how we use a drop trap to solve that problem. So there you have it. If she throws the cat under the drop trap, you actually can catch the cat that way, as opposed to trying to shove the cat into the narrow opening of a box trap. So try to avoid having to do that. But if you do, that's a good way to handle the situation. Now, what about uneven ground? So this was a situation where we did a mass trapping. As you can see, these are cats that we already caught. But notice how uneven the ground is. And there were a few cats left that, you know, hadn't gone into the box traps. And now we're releasing these other guys. So it's a situation where we really wanted to be able to use a drop trap to do the selective trapping. So the question was, how are we gonna do that? And that's when we came up with the idea of what we call a drop trap pad. And that's what this is. And it's just a couple of pieces of half-inch thick plywood folded that are hinged in the middle so you can fold it in half. And it's basically just creating a base for the drop trap. You're creating a 4-foot by 4-foot surface, and we continue to work to try to create a commercially available drop trap pad, but we haven't had much luck on that. So this is the best we can do at this point if you want to create a drop trap pad. And I'll explain how to build one. It's not complicated, but you can see what the basic idea is, that the plywood evens out the whatever the ground is underneath it. So here you see we're back at that exact same spot where the ground is uneven, but now we have our drop trap pad. And sometimes you have to take some rocks and put them under because, again, the pad is hinged in the middle, so it's easier to transport. So if it starts to sag in a spot, you might want to stick a rock under it or something like that because you want a nice flat surface. And you can see how Kitty did go under, didn't have any problem sitting on the drop trap pad. And then again, we're able to catch him that way. This is also useful when the ground is not uneven, but it's very soft, maybe like peat, you know, kind of a peat moss texture. And a cat would be able to quickly dig out from under it by creating a hard surface. You know, you prevent that from happening. So here are details about how to construct them. I'm not going to go over each detail now, just very briefly, but you can, again, you should download the handout of all the slides today, and then you'll have this if you decide you want to make one. So you've got two pieces of plywood that are 2 feet by 4 feet, right? And you're going to have a couple of door hinges, some cable ties, and then you want to be able to paint the whole thing so that it doesn't rot over time and also so it blends in with the environment that you're working in. When you construct them, you attach them with the hinges and then you paint the whole thing. In the back corner, you're going to drill a couple of holes in the locations you see on the slide, and you're going to put a cable tie through it in order to create a loop. And this is what the back of the drop trap is going to be attached to. So it's important, obviously, that since you're on uneven ground, you can't have the drop trap being dragged off the pad. That would completely eliminate the whole purpose of the whole thing. So you need it to fall and stay in place. But you need something that isn't going to restrict the movement of the trap downwards either. So that's where these loops come in. So you're going to have a couple of cable ties in the back corners that are just going to always stay there. They're just going to be part of the pad. And then when you're setting up your trap, you attach the back of the drop trap with another cable tie loosely. You'll see the word, you know, you see how that's not, that orange cable tie is not pulled tight. It's left loose so that we're not interfering with the downward motion of the trap once it's falling down. Now, if you're on ground that is where you put the drops, you know, you set up your trap and you put the prop stick up and it starts to sink into the soil, but it's not a situation where you're worried the cats are going to dig out from under. It's just soft, you know, soft enough for the prop stick to sink. You get around that with one of these French fry food boats is what they're called, or French fry plates. And you just stick the prop stick on that. And even if it sinks down, now it's on a kind of, with these food boats, that's a waxy surface. So it's nice and smooth and slippery, and it won't interfere with when you yank the string. It'll work as if you were on a firm ground. Nighttime drop trapping, absolutely you can do that. We don't find that cats are put off by light. There's a couple of kinds you can use. There's the hanging lights like you see on the upper left, and then just regular like electrical, you know, lights that people use when they're doing work on their cars or outdoors or something like that. But whatever it is, just make sure you have enough light that you can see if the cat is ear tipped, that you can make sure they're in enough. I did work with some professional trappers who, on another project, who preferred using green lights. They had headlamps that had a green light option. Some of them actually also had liked red light. And there is some literature out there. I haven't researched this extensively, so don't quote me as a source for this. But there is some mention that cats have difficulty seeing green light or seeing red light. So no matter how bright it is, it's not going to deter them. So we do, when we're doing this now, since it seemed to work for them, we do use green light. But again, before that, we did, you know, hundreds and hundreds of drop trap cats with just regular spectrum lights with no problem. Really good piece of equipment, depending on the box traps that you're using. So the drop trap, the opening of the side door is the same size as the tomahawk spring traps. And I believe that's 10 inches wide by 12 inches high. And so it was designed to perfectly match the rear door of that trap. And I think that's the Tomahawk 606NC is the model number. Now, I think over time, the field has kind of move more towards using gravity traps, especially people who trap a lot. There's less risk of injury to the cat. They're much quieter. So I know that's become our preferred trap is the GT606 that you see on the bottom left that we helped design. The problem when it comes to a drop trap is that these are not the same size, the rear doors. They're 9 inches by 11 inches. So you have little gaps. And if you're dealing with, especially with like a teenager, like a cat who's 4 or 5 months old or something like that, there's just enough of a gap that we actually saw one squeeze his way through between the edge of the box trap door and the edge of the side door. So the way you can eliminate that is by getting what's called a drop trap transfer. It's a reducer is what we call it. It basically slides in to where the side door is and reduces the size of the opening so that it matches these gravity traps. It's a 4 ounce piece of equipment, but it can save you a lot of trouble trying to transfer those smaller cats. And the way you insert them is you put them behind, emphasis on behind the tracks of the side door, right? Slide it just right in there. And then zip tie at least one corner so that it stays in place when you're lifting the trap up and down. And boom, you've got your side door opening matching your box trap opening. So just check to make sure once you've done this, take the side door of the drop trap and raise it up and down a couple of times just to make sure the track is nice and smooth and you haven't put something in a place where that would interfere with it at all. We just put it on every drop trap that we use now as a kind of a standard piece of equipment.
When we launched the Community Cats podcast, our goal was simple: share stories and strategies to help cat lovers turn their passion into action. But something amazing happened. Our community grew, and so did our mission. Over the years, we've added webinars, conferences, certification courses, downloadable tools, and a whole lot more to support people who care about cats. So it's time for our name to reflect everything we do. The podcast isn't going anywhere, but our overall platform is rebranding as Community Cat Central. It's the same team, the same heart, and the same commitment, just with a fresh new look and even better ways to help you take action for cats in your community. You'll start seeing updates soon, including a brand new website, smarter email tools, and resources that are easier to access and use. We're so grateful to have you on this journey with us, and we can't wait to show you what's next. Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today. Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com.
So let's talk about remote controls, because I know that's a topic a lot of people are interested in. So first, I'm going to talk to you about what at least started out as the standard remote control technique with a drop trap. And obviously, there's a lot of advantages to remote controls. You can be further away. You lose all the drama of, pulling the string just right. All you have to do is be able to squeeze the trigger. So the way that the traditional way of doing it looks like is this slide. And what you'll see is there's a different kind of prop stick, and it goes all the way up through the top of the trap where there's the trigger mechanism. And the trigger mechanism, you can see, is highlighted in the lower right pop-out screen in your on your slide. You can see how there's a little metal cylinder that sticks out of the black box, and the prop stick rests on that. And what happens is you hit the remote control, that cylinder pulls back into the black box, and since that's what was holding the trap up, the trap falls down. So you've got your trigger and your prop stick. Now, the problem that we found is something you're going to see in this video. Let me play it for you. So this is the traditional remote control drop trap setup, and watch what happened. Okay, darn, right? Because, you know, that was like cat number 31 in a 31 cat colony. So we were not real thrilled about that. But let's take another look at that same moment of truth there in slow motion and see if you can catch what happened. What went. Okay, so let me put that to you. What do you think happened there, Deborah Robinson? Did he hear the motor? And the answer is yes. The remote control. So here's the moment of truth. And you can see the trap has not started to drop, but he's already on the move. And that's because he heard the remote control. And it takes a split second for the cylinder to pull, for the motor to pull the cylinder back. When you have a really savvy cat like this one, who's just hypersensitive, he heard something and he took off. And he just required that split second in order to escape. So that didn't make us real fond of drop trapping, you know, using remote controls in this way, because you're often after that toughest cat who you couldn't catch normally. So this is another way to use a remote control that we think is much, much better. And this is where you lay the drop trap flat on the ground and you set the remote control up with the side door instead of with the prop stick. And in order to do this, you're going to need an adapter for the remote control. It's called a side door bracket that the black box sits in. And it's not an expensive item, and you can get it at Tomahawk Live Trap. So let me show you this side door remote control in action. And this is a group in Queens who took this video called TNR Utopia, and they were kind enough to share this footage with us. But, and this is, you'll see, first they try to use box traps with these cats, and none of them were having it. So they came back the next day and they set up this box trap. So these cats were hungry, but not going into box traps. So there you have it. There's something about the drop trap on the ground and it being a nice big space that makes the cats feel comfortable. And they'll go in now, especially if they're hungry. You can see they were very wary of the box traps, but they marched right in. And he was able to be patient and wait until he had three of them all eating at a bowl. And you saw the trigger when he held that up. That's what you're pressing to literally set the remote control off. So I wanted to, related to this, talk a little bit about some of the use of drop traps that we had when we were, a neighborhood cats coordinated the rescue of over 600 cats who survived, free roaming cats who survived the Maui wildfire. And that took place in August of 2023, that fire, and it wiped out, you know, killed about 100 people, and it destroyed about 5.5 square miles of a very densely populated area. And a lot of the cats who lived outside, they hid in the storm drains and they rode out the fire and emerged afterwards. So that was we were hired to get them out. One of the things we did is we set up these feeding stations throughout the burn zone. And you can see they were your basic storage bin with the front cut out. And we had litter pans of food and water inside each of them. So the first 80% of the cats, the first 480 or so, we just used normal box traps. And because we knew where they were eating and we had cameras on all the stations, so we knew how many there were, we were able to withhold food and trap the cats in kind of the normal way of that most people trap. And that worked fine until it didn't work. And when we got down to the last 20% of cats, they just weren't having it. And also more and more people were entering the burn zone. In the beginning, Susie and I were like, and our team were the only ones in there just about, But as more activity and remediation and removing debris and putting up utilities and residents going back and sifting through ashes, as more and more activity took place, of course, there was more and more food available. And it became harder and harder to get these guys hungry enough. And also, a lot of them had already been trapped. A lot of these cats were ear-tipped, and so they knew what a trap was. And these last 120 were just proving to be very difficult. So what we ended up doing, related to the drop trap, is we swapped drop traps for the storage bins for the food. We figured that we couldn't catch the cats by making them hungry, so maybe we could catch them by feeding them. And so we got drop traps for each of the remaining feeding stations. There were about 30 or so at the time, because we're reducing them as we're catching cats, we're reducing the number of stations. One of the key things we think is we put a plastic corrugated roof onto the drop traps. And this made them feel like a more, because they're covered now, so it made them more inviting and comfortable for the cats to go into. And we trained them to eat in there. By what you see here was we started out just putting the food pan right inside the side door. So all they had to do was stick their head in, literally, in order to get to the food. So once we could see through our trail cameras that we were using to monitor that they were, you know, going and eating at the side door, then we moved the pan into the middle. And then once we saw they were eating in the middle, naturally we moved the tray all the way to the back. Once they were doing that, now we knew we could catch them. So we set up the remote control similar to what you just saw in the TNR Utopia video. And a couple of things for those of you doing this that you might not think of right off the top of your head is you want to put the door in backwards. It just slides better if you do it, put it in backwards. And you want to make sure the tracks that the side door is going down aren't bent, that they're smooth. You might have to put a little bit of WD-40 on them, but you want to make sure you're getting a nice smooth drop. And we also learned that you don't have to raise the side door up more than about maybe 2/3, which is what you see here. You don't have to lift it all the way up. And then you wait until the cat goes all the way in, is eating in the back, you hit the trigger. And another thing with using the side door for a remote is the side door drops much faster than if you're pulling on the prop stick with a string. We're talking split seconds here, but it's considerably less relatively. So it makes it almost impossible for, I've never seen a cat outrace the door dropping. So I wanted to give you another look at that inside the burn zone itself. And this was a feeding station. You can see the drop trap feeding station there, right? Surrounded, you know, by the debris. And so the cats at this location were trained to going all the way in. And then here's just a quick video of what it looks like at night with a green light, by the way, and using this remote control. So you see how quickly the door drops. So we caught a lot of those last 120 cats using this technique. Another thing the problem with, you know, from our perspective with this technique, with the remote control, is that somebody has to be there, right, to pull the trigger. So you end up with a timing problem. And when you're down to like 40 or 50 cats over 5.5 square miles, timing gets harder and harder the fewer and fewer cats there are. And it was becoming, and now you're down to the savviest of the savvy cats. And some of them just, if they could smell a human being within a quarter mile, they were not going anywhere near the feeding station. So one of the things we came up with was what we called the tunnel trap. And that's just what you see here, which is a box trap, which is tied to the side door, cable tied to the side door with the rear door of the box trap and the side door of the drop trap raised up and tied into place. And now for Kitty to get the food in the drop trap, they have to pass through the box trap, and the box trap is set. So we caught a number of cats doing that. But when we got down to the, you know, there were some cats that, you know, just wouldn't go for it. So we actually invented what we called the auto drop trap. And that's what you see in this slide. It's a do-it-yourself, you know, it's not a commercially available thing. But what we did was we created a trip plate. And you see the food dish, the litter pan, is in the back right corner of the drop trap now. And it's screened in front. You might not be able to make that out, but there's a little metal screen in front of the litter pan inside the drop trap. So to get to the pan, the cats have to walk on that white trip plate that you see that's attached to a dowel. And that trip plate is attached to the side door with a string that goes through a pulley. And then you can see that little wooden dowel sticking out from the side door. That's what's holding the side door up. The cat steps on the white trip plate, it pulls the string and the wooden dowel back, and it causes the side door to drop. And let me show you that in action. Oops, sorry. Real quick. This is what we call the auto drop trap. And this is how we caught the very last cats. One of the handouts is instructions on how to build one of these. If you're at all comfortable working with your hands, it's not hard to do. We give you all the exact measurements, and you don't need any special tools. You need a drill just to make a hole in the wooden dowel trigger. Otherwise, you don't need any special equipment. It takes about maybe an hour and a half or so to build it, and then you can disassemble it. And when you reassemble it in the field, it takes about 15 or 20 minutes. So it's a definite do-it-yourself thing. But if you're in a situation like we were, where you can't be there and you have to trap whatever cat you can, it was a great tool. Saved us. Just wanted to share with you, talking about trail cameras, there is a new, it just came out about a week ago. There's a trail camera now that offers a live video view. So if you're drop trapping, especially at night, you can set this camera up close to the drop trap and watch. Instead of peering through binoculars and guessing whether the cat's ear tipped or this or that, you can set up this camera and just watch like you're watching on TV. And especially if you have a remote, you can see when to pull the trigger, but it can also help you with the string. It's a little pricey. It's $199, and it's a cellular camera, so it connects to your cell phone, the images, and there's about $13 a month. But we're getting one because it's just, you know, it's a game changer when it comes to drop trapping and being able to, you know whether this is the cat you want. Okay, I want to talk quickly about mass drop trapping. This is something you can do when there's what we call cluster eating, which is what you see in this slide. And that's when the cats are used to all eating together out of the same bowl. You see how they cluster around the food. So you can, in these colonies, it has to be they're already doing this, but if they're doing this, you can see how we put a big bowl of food under the drop trap and they cluster around that. You got to, you know, this is for advanced. This is not for you guys who haven't done this yet. You want to get a little experience under your belt, but you know, you're watching, you're waiting to the right moment when nobody's, you know, got their head under and most of their tails are under or close enough. And then you're just literally pulling the string and you're catching several cats at the same time. And then you're going to do the same. You're going to cover them up and you're going to do the same transfer process, one cat at a time. I want to take you to a situation where a lot of these, where we face multiple challenges and then we combined using a lot of these tools that we've talked about today. This was in a park where you could see the cats. They were an extremely feral colony, and they lived in this concrete heap of, I don't know, somebody must have knocked some big building down and they dumped all the pieces of concrete. It created this little hill, and the cats lived inside of it. And oh, here you go. And you can see the heap of concrete on your right and this fence on your left and this narrow strip of ground in the middle. Well, the cats would eat against the fence, and they would only eat against the fence. So they would come out from the pile, cross the path, eat against the fence, and they were cluster eaters. They ate groups. And here's the satellite view. You can see the rock pile, the fence right across. And then there was a little slope, little bit of ground that went up that gave a, somebody a good vantage point to watch the cats as they're coming out of the pile and going to the fence. So this is just a schematic of the same thing. You can see how the cats went out. They went to the feeding area and ate in that way. So we wanted to try to trap a whole bunch of them quickly as part of a mass trapping. So this was our setup. We put two drop traps in the feeding area on pads because the ground was uneven. So we had another challenge that way. And we had a spotter up on the slope and far enough away the cat wouldn't bother the cats. And then we had our trappers all the way down the path. And we had two people, one for each drop trap, who would pull the string. But there's a problem here. Do you see what that is? There's one more challenge with this setup. We got our pads. We solved the uneven ground. Too far away? No, not too far away. It's as far as your rope goes, not straight in front. Yeah, that Caitlin got it. The problem. Look at the severe angle that these trappers are at. It's too severe to be pulling on they'll pull the drop trap sideways from that far in that angle. So that was a problem we had to solve. And what we did is we call it the drop trap 360. It's just a wooden dowel jammed into a 10-pound barbell. And we could then wrap the string around it and pull at a 90 degree angle. In fact, you can actually use this to pull from behind the trap, almost 180 degree angle, if you're using this device. So here's our final setup. We've got our drop trap 360s now, and now the trappers have an angle and everything is in place. I think we got 8 cats with that one pull.
Thank you to Brian and Susie for being just such amazing presenters and sharing all of this knowledge with us, because it's so helpful to be able to use these scatter tools, and they're tricky. So hugely helpful. Thank you so very much for being here. All right. Thanks, guys. We will see you guys at the next workshop.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.